I said this morning that my title for the message tonight would be The Devil's Blindfolds, and therefore my text for this evening is found in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians and the 4th chapter and the 4th verse, where the Apostle Paul, speaking of those who are lost in sin, verse 3 makes that clear. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And Paul goes on to say, in whom? That is, in those that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In this verse of Scripture, the Apostle Paul speaks of a person who is the devil. He identifies him as the god of this world. Now, the devil is given various names in the Bible. He's called Satan. He's called the great dragon. And I would impress upon your heart tonight that the devil is not the figment of somebody's imagination or your imagination. He is a real being. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah and the prophecy of Ezekiel that he was the chief cherub or the chief angel. And sometime after his creation by God, he rebelled against God. He desired to take the throne of God. He desired to be above God. And so he was cast down. Revelation chapter 12 tells us there was war in heaven. And the devil and his angels were cast from the heavens. And they were cast down to the earth. And that passage tells us that the devil had and has not all power, but a limited power while he is on this earth. He has a short time. And as the chief angel cast down from the heavens to this earth, he is referred to and was referred to by the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 16 and also in John chapter 14 as the prince of this world. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. He was coming to attack. He was coming to slander. He was coming to seek to destroy the Lord Jesus, but he could find nothing in him. No sin. And he is called the prince of this world. And in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, Paul terms him as the god of this world, because those who are unconverted are under his dominion and under his sway. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, he spoke about those who in time past walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And he, the devil, had set out a course and they were following it. And as such then, they were following him as their god. He is the god of this world. And he is a real being and a real person. But in this verse of Scripture, the Apostle Paul not only speaks about a person who is real, that is the devil, he also speaks of his purpose that is devious. Look again at verse 4. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The gospel is light for the soul. Man's soul is not only under the dominion of the devil in its state of sin, it is in darkness. But Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He came into this world to bring light. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 declares that the Lord Jesus hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Man is dead in sin. He has no life toward God. He is a mortal being, and when he dies, he will perish. But through the gospel, Jesus Christ hath brought life and immortality to light. The gospel of Christ is light to the darkened soul, and the devil's purpose and plan is that he does not want it to shine into the hearts and lives of men and women, lest they be saved and delivered from the kingdom of darkness unto the kingdom of light. And his purpose and his plan is to stop the light of the gospel shining into the souls of men. That includes you. Oh, from the child is young, whether he or she is brought up in a God-fearing Christian home in Northern Ireland, or whether the child is brought up in heathen darkness far away, the devil's purpose and plan is to keep the gospel light from that soul, because he knows the gospel light is the power of God unto salvation. He's working against the gospel. And then in this text, you will see that Paul not only identifies a person that is the devil, and he speaks about his purpose that is devious, but he mentions a power that he has which is destructive, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. There we have an insight into something of that power the devil has. He is not all powerful, but for a little season he has been given a limited power, and that power is that he seeks to blindfold men and women, boys and girls, to the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his armory, he not only has fiery darts, but he has blindfolds. And he seeks to take those blindfolds out and place them over the eyes of men's minds, that they see not the gospel as the truth of God and that which they need to make them right with God. And he blinds men to the truth of the gospel. The devil has numerous blindfolds. And tonight I want to simply mention three that are specifically highlighted in the scriptures. And the first blindfold that I want to mention that the devil uses to darken men's minds and understanding to the gospel, I would describe as the blindfold of religion. Speaking of the Pharisees, Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 14, "Let them alone." Speaking to his disciples, he said, just let them alone. They be blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. Christ's assessment of the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the day, they held the position of religious leadership in the synagogues and in the temple. He said, they're blind and they're blinded and they're leaders of the blind. When you come to Matthew chapter 23 and the verse 26, this chapter records Christ's great temple sermon. It was the final time he preached in the temple before his death. And in verse 26, he uttered these words, "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." And to understand what the Savior was saying, let me read to you verse 24 and 25. He said, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." The Lord was highlighting that the Pharisees were blinded in their religion. God had intended the religion of Judaism, its ceremonies, its rituals, to point men and women to Christ. Paul said, speaking of the law, and it included the ceremonial law, he said the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And when the Jews performed sacrifice, when they went through the ceremonial rituals of Judaism, every one of them was to point them to the work of the Messiah to take away their sins. And yet the scribes and the Pharisees and the Jewish religious leaders at that time, they were blinded by Satan into believing that the religious ceremonies and rites were an end in themselves. In other words, by performing them, they would save their souls. They would have saving merit before the Lord. And the Savior said, it's like cleaning the outside of the cup and the platter without dealing with the inside. The scribes and the Pharisees, they had respectability, and they sought to clean up the outside of their lives with the respectability of religion by attending to the duties and the ceremonies of outward religion, believing that that in itself would merit them favor with God and the salvation of their souls. And Christ's conclusion is, you're blinded. And your belief that religion and its ceremonies will grant you favor and merit with God for eternity is taking you and all those that follow you to the ditch that leads to hell. You're blind followers of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will end in the ditch. Do you remember that the Lord Jesus Christ told a parable in Luke chapter 18 of two men who went up into the temple? One was a Pharisee, that religious man. And in prayer he boasted unto the Lord. He thanked God that he was not as other men. He boasted in his religion. He boasted in his tithing. He boasted in his morality. And he boasted that he was such a religious man, and he expected it to gain him favor with God. While the Pharisee boasted of his religion, the publican, he pleaded for salvation. And he called directly unto God and said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And Jesus said, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified." The Pharisee went away unconverted and unsaved. The Lord was emphasizing and he was highlighting that religion and religious acts and deeds in and of themselves cannot save the soul. It's not of works that we can do, religious or otherwise, but it's by his mercy that he saves us. J.C. Ryle, great Bible teacher, he was the evangelical bishop of Liverpool in the 1800s. He noted, after many years of ministry, that if thousands are deceived by sin, then tens of thousands are deceived by religion. And whether it be apostate Protestantism, whether it be Judaism, whether it be some other great world religion, the devil has that blindfold for men and women, and he slips it on their eyes so that instead of seeing a religion that will lead men and women to Christ, All they see is religious deeds and ceremonies that will merit their soul favor with God, and all the time it's leading them to the ditch. It's leading them to hell. Oh, the devil has the blindfold of religion. And I trust that there would be no one who would sit through a Free Presbyterian service week in, week out, month in, month out, even on a one-off, and wouldn't understand that religion can't save, or whatever hope that simply by attending a church service or attending to church rituals or ceremonies, that it would somehow give them any favor with God in the matter of their soul salvation. But the devil, one of his great blindfolds is the blindfold of religion. But he has another blindfold spoken of by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1. Just turn over to Romans chapter 1. It is the blindfold of rejection or atheism. I say rejection because it's a rejection of God. There's the blindfold of religion. There is the blindfold of rejecting God's existence. The blindfold of atheism. Romans chapter 1 sets forth the apostasy of man from the beginning of time. In verse 18, we read, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness." And Paul begins in verse 19 to speak about how even from creation, the invisible things of God were seen and known by mankind. And they left the creation without excuse. Left mankind without excuse. Look at verse 20. For the invisible things of Him, that is of God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Do you see what Paul is saying there? There is enough evidence in the natural revelation, creation, that leaves man without excuse before God. Men are without excuse as to the existence of God and the power of God when they look at creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. And as mankind looks at creation, God is saying he should see that behind creation there is a Creator. There is a God with whom we all have to do. And He's saying from the creation of the world, the things of God are clearly seen, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that mankind is without excuse. But look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, in other words, even at the beginning of time, when men could look at creation and discern the Creator, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And I want you to notice this, and their foolish heart was darkened. Satan put on the blindfold. And when mankind should look and behold, there's creation, a Creator, there's a God with whom we have to do, and they should seek Him out as to who He is and what their duty and responsibility is before Him. Yet in their vain imaginations, their heart was darkened. And it led to a great rejection of God, where they rejected the true God of heaven. Verse 23, they changed His glory into the glory or the image of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Their rejection of God firstly led to idolatry. And then verse 28 teaches us it led to outright atheism. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge,
They wanted to leave God completely out of the knowledge of their mind and their lives. And when their minds were darkened, blindfolded by Satan, it ended in atheism, a rejection of the existence of God. The atheist's creed is found, and the atheist's cry is recorded in Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. If you have a margin in your Bible, you will see that it could be rendered, the fool has said in his heart, no God for me. That's the atheist's cry, no God for me. And it's the result of the blinding or the darkening of the mind by the devil. God, when He created this world, He intended mankind to see in His creation the powerful Creator, the one with whom we have to do, His eternal power and Godhead. But when man in his sin, blinded by Satan, looks at creation, what does he see? He sees an accident. He sees a random accident of chance. This world just happened to evolve. Matter just came upon matter. Perhaps an explosion took place, and all of a sudden the solar system began. And within that solar system, there were planets and a sun. And there was one planet that formed just far enough from the sun to sustain life. And on that planet, it just happened to be that from a blob or a mass that something formed into a life form. And from that, there evolved something else that resembled an animal. And from that animal, eventually man evolved and came forth. And all the while, when man sees evolution, he's blinded by the devil. The devil darkened mankind's mind that led to a rejection of God and said, no God for me. To have an opportunity to live a life of sin and rejection from God. You see, when God is rejected, Romans 1 teaches us that man gives himself over to all manner of uncleanness. Verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. My, when the devil gets that blindfold of atheism on, there's no creator, there's no God, there's no standard for life, there's no law, there's no eternity. There's no Savior. There's no salvation. There's no heaven. There's no hell. And therefore you can live as you like and you can do as you please. For we're here for a little while and then we die and that's it. And all the time it's the darkening effect of Satan upon the mind. It's the devil's blindfold. He has blinded men. The fact that there is no God. The blindfold of religion. The blindfold of atheism or the rejection of God. Then thirdly tonight, the Bible speaks of another blindfold. You'll find it in Revelation chapter 3 in the verse 17. Now, John is writing to a Christian church. It's the church at Laodicea. But the principle that he writes is applicable to the unconverted, to the unsaved. For he says in verse 17, thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now do you notice that John, the Lord speaking through John, ties blindness into their line of thinking. They said, I am rich. I am increased with goods. I have need of nothing.
The Lord says you're blind. It's possible for the Christian's eyes to be dimmed. Old Eli was blind physically, and he was also blinded spiritually, for he'd got away from the Lord, and he hadn't honored the Lord. And that's what John is writing to the church at Laodicea. You think because you have much of this world's goods, you have need of nothing, and yet you stand in need of the Lord. You're blind. Men and women, it follows through the principle. It's the blindfold of riches. For the old devil puts the blindfold on man's eyes so that he doesn't see that he's on this earth to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, to live and serve the Lord. Man with the devil's blindfold of riches thinks that he's here on this earth to amass as much of this world's goods as he can so that he can have pleasure in them. And with this blindfold on, men and women give themselves to amassing all of the wealth and all of the riches and all of the material gain they can get to make themselves wealthy and happy. And they think the more they can get, the happier they will be. And they give their time and their attention and all of their labors in life to amassing this world's goods and working for this world's riches and pleasures. And all the time they're blinded by the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ again told a parable that should illustrate the point in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. He said, "The ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully." And he tells of that rich man. In fact, he adds that little bit. He put it in. "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." No, he was already rich. He had already much of this world's goods. But with his bumper harvest, he decided he would pull down his barns and he would build bigger. And he would lay up in store that harvest and he would sell it off. And he would say to his soul, "Thou hast much goods laid up for many years." He said, "Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And he was blindfolded with God that he was about to enter into eternity. And he allowed his pursuit of temporal wealth and gain to take his focus and attention off the fact that he was a mortal man. He could enter God's eternity at any time through death, and he must make preparation to meet the Lord. He neglected to do it because he was blinded by the devil to material gain and wealth, and he entered into eternity and he lost his soul. Wonder tonight, is that how the devil is blindfolding you? You want to give yourself to a career. You want to give yourself to this world and its goods. And maybe when you've made it to a certain place, you think you'll get right with God. There's another blindfold we could mention. The blindfold of procrastination. You know the gospel is true. You know there's an eternity to come. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And at some point, you'll get right with God, but the Lord could say at any moment, "Thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be? The wealth that you're laboring for, the riches that you're amassing, you'll leave it all behind." And if a man or woman could gain the whole world, yet if they lose their soul, it will count for absolutely nothing. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. The devil has the blindfold of religion. He has the blindfold of God rejection, atheism. He has the blindfold of riches or materialism.
is the blindfold of procrastination. Just wait a little longer. Work a little more for self. And someday get right with God. Brethren and sisters, men and women, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the light of this world. He opened the eyes of the blind on this earth. He says in our text, or just a verse or two after our text, as God shined the light in the darkness. Listen to these words, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He likens salvation to the light shining in your soul. Just like this universe was dark in creation, and God said, let there be light. So your soul is dark in sin. Your mind is blinded. But it's God who commands the light to shine. And it's Jesus Christ who is the light of the world that can shine the gospel into your heart. It's Christ that you need. And it's Christ who can take the blindfold away and give you the light of the gospel. When the Apostle Paul was saved, he went into the city of Damascus. He was struck blind with the light that shone from heaven. And in Acts chapter 9 and verse 18, we read that when Ananias went in unto him, his eyes were opened. And it was as if the scales fell off. Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. That's what the Lord wants to do for every sinner in the gospel. To take away the scales of blindness from off your eyes. To remove the blindfold. And to give you the light of the gospel. And it's my prayer tonight. That if the devil has you blinded in sin, that the scales will drop off. The Lord will remove them. And He'll command the light to shine in your heart. So that you can say, the light of the world is Jesus. You'll say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid?